This episode of The Slow Good Life is brought to you by Slow Talk Podcasting, a turnkey recording studio featuring podcast development, production, distribution, and marketing. Check out Slow Talk Podcasting online at slowtalkpodcasting.com or call them at 805-234-5056. Welcome to another episode of The Slow Good Life. Your host here, James Davis, and in the studio today, Craig Marshall. Craig, how you doing, man?
Hey, wonderful to be on The Slow Good Life once again with you, James.
Oh, yeah, man. It doesn't get any better than this, but we've got a special guest in our studio today, Tom Meinhold. Tom, welcome to The Slow Good Life.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming up. Coming up the grade from slow to our palatial studios here at Atascadero.
That's right. Did you check out the green room before you came into the recording studio?
There was a green room?
He missed the green room, Craig. You've got to give them the roadmap. There's too many doors here. Well, it's great to have you. I know you go way back. I don't know, though, if you were actually born here, Tom, in San Luis Obispo.
Sierra Vista Hospital in 1965.
I joined you with
there
that.
There we go.
Yeah.
Your family has quite
a lineage of roots on the Central Coast, correct?
Well, I mean, not really. I mean, my parents moved here in 1957.
Okay.
So my dad was the second orthodontist in San Luis. He got recruited out of UW, University of Washington, to come down and help the current and the first orthodontist in town, because orthodonture was a fairly new thing in 1957. And so they moved down. They looked at Santa Barbara, Visalia, and San Luis Obispo, and my mom said, if you want it to be the shortest marriage on earth, move to Visalia.
And now you know the rest of the story.
Right. Yeah.
My mom told my dad that about moving to Madera, and my dad never did move. He passed before he moved to Madera.
My parents moved over here from Bakersfield.
There you go.
Pauli and State. So.
Upgraded.
There you go. There you go. So, matter of fact, all my siblings were born here in San Luis, except for my oldest sister, Vicky. So she was born in Washington.
Okay. All right. Well, you've firmly establish yourself with Meinhold Photography on the Central Coast. What year did you start Meinhold Photography?
Well, I started Tom Meinhold Photography.
Okay. Right, right. Tom Meinhold Photography.
In October of 1990. So I'm about ready to finish up my 29th year and go to my 30th year.
That's quite a long time. Congratulations.
It's a long time.
A lot of weddings, a lot of special events.
Yeah, I was talking to another wedding photographer here locally. The other day I ran into him, Cameron Ingalls, and a great wedding photographer. And I'll say this now because I'm not doing weddings anymore. This could almost be my official announcement. I've decided to quit doing weddings.
What's the reasoning with that? Yeah.
You know, it's just a young guy sport. You know, it really is. And I want to be home on weekends. And the other thing, too, is when you book a wedding, and a lot of times when I was booking weddings, you book a year in advance or at least 6 months. So something fun might come up and you don't get to go, you know, because you're committed for that weekend or weekends. And so my business has evolved to the point where I really don't need to do them anymore.
That's wonderful. You do a lot of different types of photography. I know you were the go-to guy, or probably still are, for senior portraits, right?
I am the contracted photographer for Morro Bay High School. And so I do San Luis. I do any school, but I have to do 180 kids for Morro Bay High School every year.
Hmm. Yeah. So you have a contract with the school?
I do. I have a contract with the school. Oh, so, okay. And that, you know, a lot of people go, oh, that's just so not fair, but it's just for the yearbook only. Kids can go anywhere they want to do senior portraits, but the one that goes in the yearbook, has to be done by me.
How did that specific school develop? Through friends there? How did Morro Bay High School open up in a professional
sense? You know, it's really, I mean, this will only be my actually second year doing it, but it's, they, it started with a yearbook advisor who just wanted consistency. And San Luis High has always had either a contracted photographer or a list of approved photographers. And this last year, they didn't do that. They finally, because the photographers need to be vetted and live scan test. And I think the district was like, we're just so tired of doing this, you know, that they just opened it up. And I think the yearbook suffers from it, because then people can submit whatever they want to submit as long as it fits in the criteria. Shot on a cell phone, for example, or, you know.
You lose some continuity and quality.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the yearbook this year, and for San Luis High, unfortunately, it's not as, that section isn't as good as it's been in the past when you've had nothing but professional shooting. And then, and the nice thing, too, is when if you're on that list for them, you you have to come and do the free day. So for kids that really can't afford to do photography and have it done professionally, all the contracted or the guys that are on the approved list for San Luis High, because there's no contract, it's just you're on the list. And then they have to photograph the kids for free, and they look good. You know, all the that section of the yearbook looks really good. I mean, I heard a story. I never saw the photo, but the one school had a picture of a kid coming out of the bathroom stall for his senior photo. I never saw it. I heard about it.
I'm not even going to try to caption that. But I did want to ask you, backing up a little bit, how you personally got interested in photography. Was it a parent? Was it a friend? A class? Or a combination thereof?
In ninth grade, going to mission school, we were going to Hearst Castle. My dad gave me his Pentax K1000 Foley manual camera and a roll of slide film, and I never gave it back to him. And I just started playing with it and having a good time. And by the time I was in 10th grade, one of my older sisters, Leanne, said, you know, you're pretty good with that thing. You should go to Brooks Institute of Photography. And I was like, what's that? And she goes, it's in Santa Barbara. I go, keep talking. I'm listening, you know. And so I looked into the school, and it had, you know, the prereq is a 4-year degree, and you don't have to take an SAT. You didn't have to have 2 years of a foreign language. So many things you didn't have to do that I was not the student. Let's put it this way. So I thought, wow, that sounded really good to me. So, you know, by my senior year, my John Barnhart pulled me into the counseling office. And
I remember him.
You remember Barnhart?
Yeah.
He says, Mr. Meinl, I'm really concerned about you, and you have done nothing to prepare yourself for college. And I said, well, I'm going to Questo to get some transferring units, then I'm going to Brooks Institute of Photography. And he goes, what prerequisites do you have to have for high school? And I said, none. He goes, you don't have to take an essay? Nope. He just goes, he goes, wow, sounds like you got it all figured out. And I said, I hope so. And the funny thing is, I ran into him the day I was moving to Santa Barbara. And he was just, wow, you really did it. And then he always ran into me in weddings and goes, he was really impressed that I actually got a degree, and I went into the field that I was, that I was doing. So,
and now you doing weddings throughout the community for 29 years, you probably inevitably run into people and then realize in a store at a location, my gosh, I was at their wedding I photographed their wedding 20 years ago.
The only thing that hasn't happened to me is I haven't photographed a wedding for a kid whose parents' wedding I did.
Okay. That hasn't happened yet.
And I thought, you know
what? Give it a few more years.
Next.
I thought, maybe I might just stop doing weddings right now before that happens.
That happens.
And I'll feel how old I really am here. So,
right. Well, hey, you've done a lot of unique, taken a lot of unique photos and done many different galleries. What's some that stand out to you?
Oh, I could probably tell this story. A realtor calls me one day and says, hey, Tom, I got a really good client that needs some photography done, and his name's Alex Trebek. And I said, okay. And I didn't inquire, is it the Alex Trebek? And
was this over at Windfall Estates, Windfall Farms?
It was called Windset Farms, but back then it was Crescent Farms, and before it was Cardiff Farms. When he bought that out of receivership. So this guy calls me and says, is this Tom Meinl? And I said, yes, it is. He goes, this is Alex Trebek, and I'm looking for somebody to run some drugs for me. And I'm like, so I'm starting to think to myself, I'm going,
is this the real,
maybe there's another Alex Trebek, you know? And I just go, I'm your man. And he goes, great. I got a horse ranch that I need photographed, and can you meet me in a couple days up at the ranch? I go, absolutely. And then met him and great guy and wow. just a lot of fun to hang out with. And I spent a lot of time. That place is huge. And then you know, the best part about it was we were there to photo. I was just running around doing sunset, sunrise. And I said, you know, it's July. I said, I'm going to sleep in my car tonight because I'm going to be here until about 10 tonight. And then I'm going to get up at the crack of dawn. And he goes, nope, sorry, you can't sleep in your car out here. And I go, you'll sleep in my daughter's bedroom. She'll sleep with her brother. So I slept in the house. I saw Silas Trebek and his freaking jammies and hung out. You know, it's just kind of.
That's pretty cool.
Great guy.
They did. I don't know if he had still owned the property or had already passed, but they did a Sunset Savor the Central Coast event out there with hot air balloons.
I was at that event. He had long since sold
okay.
it. Yeah,
I got to produce the music for that event with Real Salinas, Louis Ortega. That was an amazing
night.
Yeah,
I was out there doing photos and stuff like that.
Oh, man, they cooking the balloons up.
Yeah, wasn't that pretty cool?
That was very cool, man.
I never did anything with those photos.
You know, you're going to get people now, podcast people are really known to click in stuff while they're listening. They're going to go Tom Meinhold, Savor the Central Coast, and see no balloon photos. We're going to have to get
I wasn't hired by anybody to do it, so I didn't really have a place to, you know, that's my biggest Achilles heel in my photography business is, I mean, I've always treated it like a business, and so, like, sometimes when I go on vacation, I don't take a camera with me because I want to be on vacation, and so I've always kind of wanted to take I always take pictures when somebody's hiring me to do it. And I rarely do I go out and go, hey, let's go try freelancing this because I'm not good at marketing myself, I guess, in that area. But, you know, I've been very busy and very blessed.
Yeah. You went on the Honor flight, right? And took pictures back in 18. How was that?
That was great. I was, you know, since I had bought the magazine, we haven't got to that portion yet, but, friends of ours said, Tom, you really, really need to go on this and do a story for the magazine. I said, okay, great. They go, we'll pay for it. And I was like, oh, even better, you know? And so I went and just did a ton of photos and kind of leading into, you know, not taking pictures unless you're paid to, but with the magazine, taking photos has been kind of a different experience for me because I'm actually truly taking photos for myself. I'm not taking photos for you, say that you want it. Hey, Tom, I need you to get this bottle shot or something like that. I'm just like going, what would look good in the magazine?
It's a different perspective.
It's a totally different perspective. And so when I got home and I think I took like 1200 images in 3 days. And then, I have just a slew of great writers and I am not a writer.
Don't you write the intro portion?
I do write my column.
Yeah, you write the column. You do a great job.
That's as far as it's going to go, right there.
Well,
on the intro.
But I was like, who am I going to get to write this story? And my wife goes, you know, I like the way you write your column. She goes, take a stab at it. You should really try to, you know, write the story yourself. I'm like, okay, you know, and I did it, and first time I ever did it. But I have to confess. Susan Stewart, who I consider kind of my head writer, she's also the proofreader for the magazine. She makes me look good. She makes me look really good.
Thank God for people like that, right?
Yes. I mean, because in there, I don't know if people know, one of my writers is Bruce Bedrigan, who was an English teacher at Morro Bay High School, and I was one of his very first students at Mission, and now he writes for me.
Full circle.
And, wow. And I just like, oh, he's going to cringe when he reads this, you know? But she makes me look really good, and it was really funny. Like, when I first wrote my first column, I gave it to her, and she's kind of tiptoed around the whole fact that she's discovered I can't really write very well. And I said, no, Susan, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Please, your job is to make me look good. And she's like, whew, thank God. You know, and so ever since then, she's never been bashful about, you know, anything in those regards. So,
to our listeners that may not be familiar with the Honor Flight, could you speak a little bit about that experience, Tom?
So Honor Flight is there's a local chapter, but they do honor flights throughout the whole entire country. And what they do is they take World War II and Vietnam vets back to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. And now they're just starting to include Vietnam vets. And the sad reality is they're running out of World War II vets. Unfortunately, there are not very many of them left. And if you do the math, they should be about youngest they could be is about 92 years old now. So we're losing our World War II vets at a rapid rate. So they take them out there, and it is a whirlwind trip. and it really, really, it's really kind of taxing on them. But they do the best they can to keep everybody moving and rolling and comfortable. Mm-hmm. And when I say rolling, a lot of them are rolling because a lot of them are wheelchairs now and stuff. So, and they've got it down. They have got it down how they run this thing. And it was for me at 53 years old, I was tired when I got home, but it wasn't too bad.
Wow.
It wasn't too bad.
Wow. And you're not even claiming veteran experience.
No, I'm not. I am not a veteran.
Yeah.
So. Have you ever taught photography? Is that
a little bit?
Have you?
A little bit. When digital was first coming out, people were like, going, how, what do you do? And so I taught a few classes just out of my studio, and I'm sitting there, and first time I do it, and I've got a little chart, and I'm putting names down, and I go, and I had everybody, say their name, and this one lady goes, Elaine Rosenfield. I go, wait, you're my sixth grade teacher, And that was the first time I go, the student's become the teacher.
Funny.
But so I used to do that, and then I taught for a semester down at Hancock. Their regular teacher was having to have surgery or something like that. Somebody knew me through somebody else and asked me if I'd be interested in doing it. And I thought, well, that'd be kind of fun to tell everybody, hey, look at this. I'm a college instructor, But it's not – I'm good at it, but I don't really enjoy it a whole lot. It's a lot of work. And, sometimes – and in photography classes like this one down in Hancock, it was actually – I had to go all the way to Lompoc, San Ynez. And it, I go, how many of you have taken this class before? And like 2/3 of them raised their hand. I go,
wow.
So it was more of a club than it was a class. And I was like, okay. So
yeah, gotcha.
But anyway,
yeah. So the magazine, we can get into that now. Central Coast Journal. We got multiple issues in front of us. Great magazine, I can say. Since you've taken it over. You've injected a brand new life. You changed the name, of course. We can talk about that. But when did you take over the magazine?
We went into negotiations in October of 17 and officially took it over December 1st of 17. So our first issue was January 18th.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what was it called?
It was called Journal Plus.
Journal Plus, that's right.
And let me explain that a little real quick. So the person I bought it off was Steve Owens, great guy. We've been friends for 20 years, and he was ready to retire. He's turning 70, or he must have turned 70 because he was going to be turning 70. Anyway, he'd done it for a long time, and he was ready to be done. And we just saw it as a nice opportunity. So he started San Luis Magazine. David Weirich bought that and bought the Gazette. And when things were unraveling over there, they released Steve from his contract and said, we don't think you could get another magazine going right away. So we're going to release you from your new do not compete clause and not pay him his severance. Mm-hmm. He had Slow Journal up and going in less than 30 days.
Wow.
And advertisers and profitable from the very first issue.
Wow.
And so he had that. And then he also had, then he bought Plus Magazine. And I forget who owned Plus Magazine. And then 2008 hit. And he wisely combined the two because I think it was going to be just a little too tough to try to keep two magazines going during the recession when nobody was spending any money on anything, including photography. And so he called it Journal Plus. And everybody understood what Journal Plus was, but after 10 years, people were like, what's Journal Plus? And I never really liked that name, but I understood why it was done. Mm-hmm. And since it had been done, I think it saved the magazine. Mm. So I thought, what defines this magazine? And we distribute from Santa Maria to Paso Robles. We're all over the Central Coast. Mm-hmm. And so I started searching domain names, and Central Coast Journal was taken, but it was a little website up on the Oregon coast. Cause up on the Oregon coast, there's space. They refer themselves as Central Coast as well. And the website was so old that it was like only taking up a third of the screen up in the corner, you know, when we had like
dial up modem.
Right. And
14K.
And so I finally got a hold of the person. The gentleman had made it for his mother, who was into wildflowers and nature trails up in Oregon. And I told him what we were doing. And he says, I'll sell it to you. So he sold it to me, and it took me a little while to get it all going. So I wanted to change it January 1st, but it was February 1st that we were able to make the name change. So it's been well received. People seem to relate better to the Central Coast Journal. It's just going to take probably another year before people really realize that it's the same magazine. Some people don't really, I mean, even though I talked about it for months in the column and everything, it's, you know, change for some people's is slow coming, but they love it. And it's a very, very faithful readership. And people were worried that, you know, when we bought it, that there could be these big drastic changes. And there really haven't been, other than I've tried to add better imagery to the magazine.
And I think when you bought it, Gil Stork was on the cover of the first issue. Is that correct?
No. He was on the last issue. Cover of the last issue.
Just before. Maybe that's what got my attention.
Yeah. And then we did... his name escapes me, but the general manager for Slow County Airport.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I forget the name also.
Yeah, so we did a photo of him, and so that was the first one. And then the second one was Peter Juergens. You know who he is? He's owns a British Sports Cars downtown.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Walk by there all the time, shoot pictures of cars.
Well, he's got these two incredibly handsome sons, twin boys, and they're all in the business together. And and I'm a car nut.
And they also have a beautiful red convertible Corvette sitting there dying for somebody to go in and buy it.
Is there one there right now?
Oh, there's one there right now.
Oh.
It was gone for a bit. It's back. I have a good friend that would love to buy that. It's just beautiful. I think it's a 67 Stingray convert. Anyway, we diverge.
I do have a British car, so I am in there frequently. So.
You know what I really love about the magazine? I mean, you shine the spotlight on a lot of local community leaders, business owners. But the magazine itself, when you go through it, and you don't even have to read much of it, but it exudes a positivity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can feel a positive vibe from the magazine every time you read it. Was that an intention of yours?
Oh, absolutely.
Of course.
And Steve's as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just kind of picked up the ball where he handed it off to me and just kept going in that direction. No religion. No politics. Now people say, wait, but you have the Palm Street perspective, and now we've changed that to the Mayor's Corner. But it's just, tell us what's going on. Give me some positive things that are going on in your community and what you guys are working on. You know, this is not, they know it's not an election platform for them. Mm-hmm. So, because everybody wants to know what things are happening, but we don't, you know, it's like if anything goes negative, I yank the story.
So you won't be accepting political ads in there then?
Oh, we do political ads.
Oh, do you?
Okay. Well,
you
got to pay the bills.
Exactly.
I like the new downtown perspective with Bettina Swigger. That looks great. And of course, Dr. Brescia, County Superintendent of Education, has a regular column in the magazine. A lot of good diversity, a lot of good coverage countywide too.
Yes, that's the whole point. And so one of the things we did just recently was we used to have the Palm Street perspective. I inherited that, and was our four city council members and our mayor would rotate and write a little piece. And I thought, well, you know, we're a county magazine. We're not a city magazine anymore. Mm. We're bigger than that. And so I went to one of their mayor's meetings and I said, guys, I'd really love you all as mayors to rotate and talk about your cities and what's going on. And they jumped on it. Although I might get in trouble, but I tried to get the supervisors to do it and they weren't interested.
Well, somebody might hear this podcast and go, hey guys, come on, we want to see you. I think the regional approach is great. You know, we all live in certain cities, but my gosh, even tourists, it's changed 5, 6, 7 years ago where they'll come to an area, they will not stay in Paso Robles the whole time. They'll come down the hill or vice versa. And there's more, with digital media and things, more of an attachment to a wider range of activities. Yeah.
Sure. Hey, now you can go online, right, and read past issues and things like that?
Yes. Okay. That's the first thing we did is we revamped the website when we got in there. And I couldn't load all the old issues. So we just kind of started fresh. But we have copies. I have copies of every issue since it inception.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of file cabinets.
What was the beginning of the magazine in its earliest incantation?
It was roughly the same, but it was Slow Magazine.
How long ago when it first came out chronologically? I'm trying to go back.
I think 94.
Okay.
94, 95 was probably the first issue, and then it changed to Slow Journal.
People still like a look life magazine type of thing, but they like it local. People like the pictures. I know that. It's just part of, you know, especially, I don't want to segment it to a class because there's also young people that really love nice photography, but there's something about holding, at least to me, old school, holding a magazine, sitting. It's like a record album. It's a timed experience. I like to go from cover to cover. I like to flip back, maybe go briefly through it and then go back and read the articles. There's something about that, but something about it being right in your backyard, not national. Right here. And so to me, you got the best of both worlds. You've got this very broad, classy, not classy to the point of being ostentatious, but it's slick. It's nice looking.
We're not 805 magazine. We're not ostentatious. It's about real people. If you go to our website and read our mission statement, I can't say it word for word because I can't remember, but it basically says we want people to feel better about the community they live in and the people they live with after reading the magazine every month.
I like that.
Now, subscription-wise, if there's some Central Coast folks that have moved away, they can subscribe to the magazine too?
Absolutely. You can do it right online, right on the website.
And the website?
CentralCoastJournal.com.
CentralCoastJournal.com. And it also brings it up on SlowJournal.com. That website still goes to it?
Yes, it does. Okay. Yeah.
For people that have that loaded in.
Yeah. Right, right.
But the website, centralcoastjournal.com. That's very simple.
Yeah, so far right now, you know, if you put in centralcoastjournal.com, the header up top still says slowjournal.com. Okay. I'm a little slow on some things. Yeah. So.
Hey, you did touch on a few of the writers. I do know that you can also make, still welcome submissions?
All the time.
Outside? Okay.
All the time.
Okay.
Yeah, if you got something interesting to share, you know, all the time. But, you know, unfortunately, you were asking me before we went on air, you know, kind of the how do you come about, you know, your story ideas.
Yeah.
And personally, for me, if I think it's cool, let's do it. You know, it's just interesting and funky and a little different. And you don't have to have saved the planet.
And I think that approach, I like the way you say that, but I think that approach gives a really good feel for the area, a broad section, because really, the people are what animate our area.
Absolutely.
The people weren't here, you know, who'd be here to enjoy it? I mean, it really is the lives of who lives here and who comes and visits. But kudos to you, Tom, and to your team and to the writers, because you've really caught that.
And
I know that I look for the new edition when I'm out in the streets of SLO. I'm going, is the new one out yet? Okay, there it is, you know? And
good.
So
I'm glad
to
hear it.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it.
So a lot of these writers... were they brought in fresh by you, or are they?
Oh no,
the
no,
past?
No! I inherited almost everybody. The only difference was when we came in, Steve had an idea he'd been working on of having the sheriff do a column and just what's the sheriff's department up to. And I have a big love for the sheriff's department because my brother had been out there for 23 years. A brother-in-law had been out there for a little bit longer. I had a lot of family in law enforcement. If you read my column, I've had five family members in law enforcement one way or the other. So, you know, I just thought it was a great, great way to go. And then Susan Stewart stayed on. And Susan, she likes to be assigned a story, which is great because, you know, we get these ideas. And Susan's a great sounding board. Hey, what do you think about it? She goes, I think that's a great idea. And then we have other people who bring their own. Camus Frank is new. He came from Bay City News.
Mm-hmm.
The gal Sarah Hedges, who does the food piece, she's been there since we started. Bruce Berdrigan was new. We did have Don Morris doing the Greatest Athletes. He was supposed to be doing it for a year. He did it for 5 years, and he just decided it was time.
I missed that. It's not in the magazine anymore, huh?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, it's not. But he, you know, just ready for him to retire. Yeah. He's 87 or something like that. So I, you know, I had to let him go.
Great job with that. I love that.
Yeah. Tom, I have a question. In advertising, if we're, if I'm speaking to a nonprofit organization or a nonprofit organization hears about this and going, gosh, we want to think of more creative ways to get it out there. We use digital media, we use the website, but gosh, this print media, which one should I choose? Is there a discount for a nonprofit organization if they want to place an ad?
Yeah, like, for example, the Renaissance Festival coming to town. And they go, well, our budget's really limited. And I said, well, I gave you a full page last year for a half page price. Does that work for you again? And he's like going, no.
Yeah,
no,
that's
like,
really good. That's really good.
He was really excited about that. You know, and, you know, I have my charities, you know, and the people I care about and the organizations I care about. And sometimes, you know, and, but, you know, the magazine still has to make money. It costs money to produce it. I have to, my writers don't do it for free.
Yeah.
Nobody works for free on the magazine, except for maybe my wife and I sometimes.
And as far as some of the best interviews or the ones that have gotten the most reaction since you've taken over the magazine, is there some standout?
Well, it's kind of nice. You don't really get hate mail with our magazine. Nobody's gonna say, you know, how dare you. But some of my favorite ones, well, I took John Lindsay. Well, I should say John Lindsay took me out to Diablo Canyon. And we went out on the boat, and that was a lot of fun. I took my 12-year-old at the time with me, and we're floating around. I look over at him. I go, John, I think we better go in. He's looking a little green around the gills.
So, did you get to take the tour of the power plant?
I have done the tour with him before in the past, and it was more about him and weather. But he did say, hey, Tom, do you want to go out the north entrance, and we'll go up through out, you know, go to the Murray Ranch and out Montana de Oro, and I was like,
oh, that's cool.
I'm like, yeah.
That's hecka cool.
I've never done it before.
Yeah.
I've never done it before. And then, matter of fact, just yesterday, we're doing a story on the Land Conservancy. Two gals in a 4x4 Jeep took me to the top of Pismo along the preserve up there. I've never been on top of those mountains before. And looking down, I'm going, those are some steep. You feel like the beach and everything's just right below
and
you.
And the view must be incredible. I've been at other spots, but that particular view must be. Wow.
And then I did another story that kind of sticks out to me was the Natural Healing Center down in Aurora Grande, the cannabis
dispensary.
My writer, Bruce Bedrigan, goes, I'd really like to do a story about this and kind of talk about the person who's doing that. And you go in, I've never been into one.
Yeah.
And I go in there, and the best way I can describe it is it's a high-end jewelry store meta nightclub.
Oh, that's funny. The glass cases.
The glass cases and the black walls and the TVs going and stuff. You're like going, wow.
Now, you know that people are going to hear this and go, gosh, I'm going to break down and go in and see what that's all about.
You got to
take a peek.
You got to go take a peek. Yeah. You know, why not?
Yeah, it's
why
a
not?
New thing.
And so, and then, but I did get one letter that did not appreciate us doing the story.
Interesting.
On that. And then I got a letter the other day. Somebody said, I guess it's all about the advertising with you guys, and you're just about making a profit. And I'm like going, oh, if you only knew
how difficult.
You know, if you only knew. Yeah.
So how was the reaction to this cover here? I saw it got some national pub.
Right? Yeah, Rich Ferguson.
Yeah.
So he did you got to go to his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
He did a really funny video where he was taking it around at the airport and then trying to buy it. You know, he's got the same haircut, and I think he might even have the same shirt on. So he's like, they're looking for, there's no barcode, and they're trying to scan it. You know,
oh, that's
like,
funny.
I don't think this, somebody must have let, and they're looking, and then they look at him and they go, wait a minute, this is you.
Fun.
It was really fun. I've known Rich for 20 years, and
he was heading
to New York for the Today Show.
He was on the Today on April Fool's Day.
And I was going to say, that's one of the things about the cover. There's pictures inside, and of course, he showed the magazine on national TV, but people do that as a thing. Worldwide, they'll take a picture of a unique location and mail it in, right? Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so he was a... it was great having him on there. I hope you've read the story about Rich. I mean, he's had a really interesting childhood, you know, and it's amazing that he was not lost through the cracks, but he, you know, I don't think his personality was going to allow that to happen. So
no. And he started out as a UPS driver. It's a fascinating story. You read about how he shook through that and followed his dream and doing quite well. It's tough to do good in YouTube. Very, very tough. And he's one of the best. He's really capitalized that market well.
Yeah, he's got 2.5 million followers.
That's incredible.
God.
Gosh, and that's not even counting the new ones today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, I can't really think of anything else. I mean, I love car-related stories because I've been a car guy my whole entire life. I worked my way through college working on cars, and so... Cool. So when we did the story about Peter Juergens and Justin and Jonathan, that was a lot of fun. So
wonderful. Wonderful. What, anything coming up that you can, tell us about?
Well, yeah, we, this month, you know, I don't think anybody else would do a story about this, but, so one of the fun things about that I discovered was that you get all these, you get press release stuff that like organizations are press releasing, mm-hmm. and we're on the fair. Sends out a press list about who's the acts. What are the acts they're booking for the fair, or they've booked for the mm-hmm. fair? Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And they say, okay, you cannot share this until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning or 10 o'clock tonight. Or they give you a time, so you're just sitting on this information. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking, well, how do they decide who plays at the fair? I was wondering how they decide that. And so we're doing a story on that.
That's cool.
We're doing a story just kind of just one little aspect.
That's neat.
Because there's no way you could cover everything they do at the fair in one issue.
How they select the acts for entertainment, which has grown to be a huge major thing. It used to be years ago if you were playing the fair, it was kind of like Vegas, you know. Now it is incredible to play some of these fairs.
No, they have the top artists. Yes. I mean, you have Garth Brooks. You have Blake Shelton coming and Miranda Lambert.
Miranda Lambert. Oh, my God.
Not on the same day, though.
Sparks will fly.
Yeah, they separate them by a couple of days. So.
But, you know, just the acts they have, and it's a it must be a very popular venue, but read the story. There's some interesting facts about how they do things and people they'll book and won't book and why they will and why they won't. And so I'll leave that, you know, up to Chummy along to pick up a magazine.
Right on.
Now for our listeners, you're also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter?
Facebook.
Okay.
My daughter is graduating from UC Irvine on Sunday. She's coming home.
Congratulations.
And she's going to figure out her next step, which is probably an MBA or a PhD or something like that. And I said, good, you can earn a little rent by helping me with a little some of this stuff. She goes, Dad, you really need to be on Instagram.
Yep, yep.
And I'm like...
Yeah, she knows.
I go, I have an Instagram account, but it's just like I look at it maybe once a month. So
is she going to help you with that? Help meet that need?
If she wants a roof over her head, she will.
You heard it right here on the Slow Good Life.
So Meinhold Photography, they can search that. That's perfectphoto.com, correct?
Perfectphoto.com.
Okay.
I got that domain name a long time ago.
It's a great domain name.
It's a great. I've had more people try to buy it.
Oh, I imagine. There's certain ones that just click, and Perfect Photo is like perfect. Yeah, the future. What does the future hold, Tom? Any dreams, aspirations, personal, professional, a place you want to go that's on your bucket list, man?
Well, so last year my daughter went to University of Sussex in England, did a semester just during the summer, and her brother went and hung out with her for 2 weeks, and they were in Ireland. They said, you know what would be really fun? Mom and Dad were here. And that's the best compliment you can get from your kids, that's, you know.
They want to include you.
They want to include us. They told us that, and I said, all right, not this summer, next summer. I told my daughter, her name's Elise. I said, book it. Just, you plan it, I'll pay for it.
2020. So we'll see some pictures in Ireland holding the magazine cover. Is that right?
Maybe. Right. There's another magazine that does that kind of stuff, so I don't do that so much as, but that and, you know, hopefully retirement someday is, you know, in my future. And
retirement meaning shifting gears, doing some other things you love, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
My wife and I have toyed with the idea of checking out another community and living, you know, I don't think we'll ever leave San Luis, but we may
see what life is like in Scottsdale or something, or Hawaii or
Nevada.
Nevada. All right.
We like the Tahoe area and stuff like that.
Oh, Tahoe.
I won't be able to afford to live in Tahoe, but I might be able to afford to live on the other side of the hill you know,
Truckee or something.
Nevada.
Oh, Nevada side. Nevada, there we go. Side,
yeah. Established residency.
Get your maps right. There's a reason for that.
Yeah. Taxes.
Oh yeah,
taxes. But maybe investigate that. But I made myself a promise that I'd have the magazine for 10 years, mm-hmm. a minimum 10 years, mm-hmm. and try to build it up and make it something, you know, that somebody else. Because in 10 years I'll be 60. I will have been 62 mm-hmm. when I bought it. And so, you know, I mean, I will had it 10 years. I'll be, you know, and maybe I'll be ready to, you know, hand it off to somebody younger and who wants to take the ball and run. I don't think print media is going away. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, you know, I mean, I will had it 10 years. I'll be, you know, and maybe I'll be ready to, you know, hand it off to somebody younger and who wants to take the ball and run. I don't think print media is going away. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll ever go away because mm-hmm. it has, I think advertisers are starting to realize that social advertising, it's so easy to click on it and make it go away mm-hmm. and you just blow right past mm-hmm. it. And so with magazine advertising, it's a little more in your face advertising.
Yeah.
So one of the things I say is, when you're reading a story in our magazine, and I try only to have one advertiser per story, that's a reading it. Subliminally, they are looking at your ad, and it's in your face the whole time. Mm-hmm. And if you really like the story, you're going to like the business. The opposite is true. If there's a story that's upsetting you, mm-hmm. that you're reading, you're getting angry about, and your business is on that,
you're not going to vibe with that business.
It's subliminally, and they've done studies, subliminally, that it affects the way the public perceives your business.
Yeah.
So I encourage everybody to advertise with us.
Well, you do shine the light on the community. You really do. And it is a very valid and an enjoyable media. We are, of course, talking with Tom Meinhold of Central Coast Journal and Tom Meinhold Photography. And the websites again, Tom?
Perfectphoto.com.
Yep.
And centralcoastjournal.com.
Excellent. Make sure you pick up the magazine, available everywhere on the Central Coast. Go to the website and you can subscribe, whether you're here in the area or out of the
area.
Right.
We'd love to... I've got a sister who lives in Tucson, Arizona, and she, you know, she goes, when am I getting my magazine? And a lot of friends that we have, we just put them on the mailing list and mail them one every month. So.
I was curious, speaking of mailing lists, the percentage of magazines that go outside the area.
You know, I don't know.
It makes me really curious.
We do. We mail out 300 plus mm-hmm. on our mailing list. So the majority is all still picked up. And then we have the website. There's probably 500, 600 a month that read it on the website. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing, you know, I know you're trying to wrap it up, but I didn't know anything about analytics. I've always been blessed. I've been very successful in my photography business. And so I've never really had to do a ton of advertising or anything like that. So I never had to look at analytics on the website and stuff. So, but our average viewing time right now is it bounces from like 5.5 minutes to 6.5 minutes.
That's respectable, isn't it?
Well,
in this day and age,
what I understand, the average is 90 seconds or less.
I was going to say it's under 2 minutes.
It's under two minutes. So when I tell people, they go,
yeah,
that's like forever.
Yeah.
You know, that's huge. Yeah. So it means people are actually, they're not just like clicking through it. They're engaging with it, they're reading it.
Getting that
they're
content. Reading it. That's very commendable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we do need to send a shout out to Wade before we check out of here, too.
Oh, yeah. Wad.
Yes. Is that an inside joke?
That's an inside joke.
All right. Well, I guess we'll let him
fix my bell.
This must go way back, folks. This has been a lot of fun, Tom, having you in the studio today.
Thank you.
And
I enjoyed
hopefully
it
we'll be down in SLO. That's our intention, to have the studio down there and be a little quicker next time to have him come on over and hang out with us.
But it's been a pleasure having you, Tom.
Yeah, anytime. I really enjoyed it, actually.
Okay. Nice, man. All right. We're going to go ahead and see you next time on the SLO Good Life, saying goodbye for now. Thank you for joining us today.
This episode of The Slow Good Life is brought to you by Slow Talk Podcasting, a turnkey recording studio featuring podcast development, production, distribution, and marketing. Check out Slow Talk Podcasting online at slowtalkpodcasting.com or call them at 805-234-5056.